You're listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. So this is part two of Unmagical Boy Story, which is a sequel to Fake Geek Girl, which was on the podcast earlier this year. You shouldn't have to listen to Fake Geek Girl to know what's going on in this story, but if you like this one, you'll probably like that one too. Unmagical Boy Story, Part 2. Friday night, 8 p.m, cover charge, 2 drinks. Medea's Cauldron had a 2 drinks cover charge on a Friday night, because of course they did. Do you think they'll waive the requirement for me if I tell them how much I hate the band? Viola asked as she and Jules made their way to the table. Who was she kidding? One vodka elderberry wasn't going to cut it. Not for this. This being, as it turned out, the most awkward double date in the history of everything. I'm glad you came, said Ferdinand Chauvelin, looking relaxed and happy and beautiful. His black hair was buzzed closer than usual, so it didn't curl up. He still dressed like himself, quality white silk shirt, unbuttoned enough to show off the endlessly burning wing of his phoenix tattoo against the deep brown of his skin. He wasn't wearing his usual amulets, though. Not even the bronze knot of protection that Viola had given him for his 18th birthday. Of course, she said, and took his hand in a squeeze because she wasn't a total bitch. It's good to see you, Chauve. It was awful to see him so damned comfortable in a grungy, crowded pub, instead of lurking in a more elegant establishment with his real friends, being snarky and hilarious. This is Hebe Hallow, Chauvelin added with hearts in his eyes. The mousy girl beside him gave Jules and Viola a wary nod. She wasn't a pushover then. She wasn't unmagical either. Her skin tingled against Viola's as they clasped hands in the traditional friendly, not too friendly, greeting. There was nothing extraordinary about this girl, but the Hallows were an old and respectable family. He could have done worse. When Viola had first heard that Chauve had transferred to the College of the Unreal and was dating a girl from the other side of Hemlock Square, she had imagined him slumming it with a null or a newbie. Realisation crashed in on her all over again that Chauvelin, her Chauvelin, was a null. Maybe forever. He had given up on a cure, though she knew for a fact that his father, along with hers probably, was still desperately consulting experts on the matter. How did you survive without magic in this world? Jules took over the conversation, chatting to Hebe Hallow about the band and her studies, like he was the tolerant and supportive friend of the group. Like he hadn't broken 3 mirrors when he first heard that Chauve had transferred out of the College of the Real, without even talking to them about it. Good witch, bad witch, was that how they were playing this? How long could Jules keep up the pretense that he was the nice one? How is it on the other side of campus? Viola broke in, gaze fixed on Chauvelin, as if there was no one else in the noisy pub. Are they starting you off in kindergarten, or do you get to count your lost magical years towards some kind of qualification? Hebe flinched at Viola's sharp tone. Chauvelin took it in his stride. My degree will be mixed, he said. That's allowed these days. I've completed enough shadowmancy units already to have that as a major, but I'm trying a bunch of different Unreal subjects right now. No point in specialising until I know what I like. You were supposed to graduate at the end of this year, Viola said, stabbing her vodka elderberry with a straw. Now I probably won't, said Chauvelin, his voice going darker in a warning tone. It's not the end of the world. You realise you could have taken a year of theory classes with us and completed a real degree by November. Of course I realise, he snapped. We don't all enjoy reading about other people performing magic, Vale. What's the point of graduating with a real degree I can never use? Heat sizzled under her fingertips. If she didn't let her anger out properly, she was likely to set fire to the table. Yeah, that was a good excuse. I suppose I would have known you felt that way, if you'd talked to us at all in the last few months. A flash of guilt crossed Chauvelin's face, but then Hebe Hallow covered his hand with her own, and the guilt went away. Viola knocked back the last of her drink. Look at that! I need a second one after all. Jules caught up with her at the bar. Quite a show, Precious. Tell us what you really feel. Viola's whole body trembled with rage. She didn't do this. Didn't let feelings get to her. Not in grubby little dive bars where the bartender, hello, wouldn't even make eye contact with her. Too busy pouring cocktails for a bunch of fake Geek Girl fans in homemade t-shirts. You did this deliberately, she said bitterly. Vale, Jules drawled, which wasn't an answer. Oh, I'm impressed. It was a tidy piece of strategy. Let me bitch out so you don't have to play the villain. Jules bumped his hip against hers. It worked, didn't it? At least he'll be texting one of us next time he makes a major life change. I am not a wand, Viola spat. Don't point me at your enemies. Hurt flared in his eyes, and an icicle began to form beneath the bar where Jules was resting his hand. Chauve isn't my enemy. Viola finally caught the eye of the bartender, who came over to mix her a new drink. I hate to break it to you, Precious, but I don't think he's a friend anymore. Jules' nightshade had always been a little shit. They were put together at parties, Viola and Jules. They were only a grade apart at school. She was the same age as him, and therefore 4 times smarter, and didn't she let him know it. Their parents were on the same committees, went to the same events, basically lived inside each other's pockets. There were other kids that belonged to the group, but Viola couldn't stand the Asteria twins, and Jules was far too old to be bothered with Hyperion Loxley and his baby brothers. When Nicholas Chauvelin joined the Basilisk board at Belladonna University, he and his glamorous wife Maheen were welcomed with open arms. They brought their children along to the parties, including Sadie, who was in Viola's grade at school, but clicked instantly with the hated Asteria twins. Tristan, who was an ankle biter, best locked in the cupboard under the stairs with the Loxley brats. And Ferdinand, who was tailor-made to be Jules' best friend. Jules despised him instantly. Parties were more fun after that. Ferdinand Chauvelin made an excellent nemesis. Jules and Viola set the most outlandish magical pranks and traps for him, and he retaliated with creative ingenuity. Best of all, he never told on them to their parents. Chauve's pranks were devastating. He invented whole new forms of magic just to turn Jules' hair green and transform Viola's favourite shoes into kittens, which she kept because kittens. By the time Viola was 12, she had skipped another grade by then because she was more brilliant than even she had imagined. Making war on Ferdinand had lost its charms. Coincidentally, that was the year that their parents suggested that the three of them really needed to widen their social circle. Out of sheer rebellion, they united as a trio of eternal friendship, solid and unbreakable. Chauvelin's magic tasted like electricity, like chaos and power and gold-threaded silk. Viola could still taste his presence in a room, hours after he had left. This time last year, Viola had known exactly what their future held. She was going to be a dazzlingly brilliant theorist, a professor by 25, tenured and published by 28. Jules was going into hex design, harnessing his destructive powers to their maximum capability. He'd already been headhunted by several companies to work for them after he graduated in November. He wouldn't be bothering with postgrad studies yet, though he promised Viola faithfully he would come back at 30 to get his doctorate, so as not to fully waste his talents. Chauvelin was their shadowmancer. Grey Ops had already staked a claim on him, Though Professor Hecate and Viola had been working on convincing him to stay a little longer at the university after graduation because his laboratory work provided such exciting results. He'd been published twice already. For most of last year, he'd been practically designing his own curriculum. If only they'd got to him earlier. If only he'd skipped a few grades, as Viola did. He might have gone so much further in his work before... Well, perhaps the accident would have happened earlier too. "Hey," said Jules now. "The band's starting." "Curse me now," groaned Viola. But she collected her drink and returned to the table with him. She had loved Ferdinand Chauvelin more than nearly anyone else in the whole world. He was her friend, and she wasn't going to lose him because he wasn't magical anymore. Even if he had quite obviously lost himself. Thanks for listening. See you next week.